And we're live. Last time you and I talked, man, we haven't lost. The Arkansas Razorbacks men's basketball team has not lost a game since we last talked.
And Keaton, I think it's because we did the podcast. That's the only reason, right? I don't think
I think
the
so, man.
players aren't playing better, the coaches aren't coaching better. I think it's solely due to the fact that we did that last podcast.
Hey, highest ranking in what, 26 years?
Yeah, since
Number eight in the country?
1998. Yeah.
Man. It's exciting to be a Razorback fan right now. Number one in baseball, number eight in basketball. I've got a good feeling about the tournament. Maybe not winning it, the whole thing, because that's just hard in general. But Sweet 16 feels like almost a, I don't want to say a lock, but man, it's feeling good, right?
Yeah, I mean they don't call it March Madness for no reason. There's death, taxes, and upsets in the March Madness tournament bracket. So,
Yeah,
but I
and
mean,
before we get
sitting
to
at
the
the
madness turn, before we get to the madness, we got to get through the SEC tournament, you know?
Yeah.
So, and here I'm actually gonna put this, I showed you, I'm gonna put this virtual background up so people can see the bracket and if they can. But so looking at this bracket, I've seen who you have winning it. Where you have Arkansas winning, right?
I do. I'm going to put a little asterisk next to it, though. If you put a gun to my head and ask me who I think would win the tournament, I would not say Arkansas. I have a really, really bad feeling about that quarterfinal matchup against Missouri.
I do too. I was just about to say that.
And I think Jalen Williams isn't going to play in that game. And, he's one of our big bodies down low. And that's Missouri's kind of bread and butter is they're physical and they kind of beat you up in the paint. They play really good defense. So if I gave you my honest truth, I think I would have Missouri beating Arkansas. And that kills me to say, but that's what I kind of think. But it's so close. And I, for a little for the Instagram, I'm going to. Most of the time, I've been pretty honest. This time, I'm gonna slightly lean towards my bias, and obviously, the prediction graphic will come out tomorrow, and it's gonna say Arkansas 76, Missouri 72, or whatever I had. But deep down, I don't have a good feeling about it at all.
Yeah, it's
So
a dangerous game.
it's kind of the asterisk next to me having Arkansas winning the whole thing.
So the big reason for me is not Jalen Williams. It's not that we're better than Missouri, in my opinion, even though they beat us earlier in the season, I believe, right?
Yeah, they beat us by 13 in Bud Walton when we didn't have Justin Smith.
Yeah, we're just a different team with Justin Smith. But I'm more worried because we're on a hot streak. We got kind of this target on our back right now because we've won 11 straight. But man, I don't know. It's we'll see. I don't. I think I'm gonna take Alabama winning it, but I'm optimistic. I think we're gonna make a little run. At least I hope so.
Yeah, and my bracket that I made, I wasn't very confident, but I had a dark horse prediction of if Kentucky could get through Mississippi State, I think they could knock off Alabama because they played them really well earlier in the season. Kentucky was on the road in Tuscaloosa, and they had them down.
Well, you know what happened there, all right? Ready, right?
I watched it. The
Mississippi State beat them by 1 point there.
yep. So obviously that hasn't worked, and I had Texas A&M beating Vanderbilt, so that didn't work. So far, I'm 0 for 2, and it just shows everybody how much I actually know about sports.
Man,
But
even the pros get it wrong. It's crazy. Like the one of the only differences, like why maybe we're not professionals, is because we weren't athletes. Like most every analyst, pro analyst, they've been like legacied into it because they still get it wrong all the time. Stephen A. Smith's never right. He's right like the weatherman. He's right 30% of the time, but.
I love the SEC tournament, especially this year, because I truly think there's 7 out of the 13 teams that could win it all. And I mean, you're just set for chaos at that point. And not to keep harping on Missouri, but I they're severely underseeded at 7. I mean, they've beaten a lot of really good teams this year, and having them as a 7 seed just doesn't seem fair. Like it, I feel like they should. They're definitely talented enough to and well coached enough to be playing in the double bye on Friday. But I mean, we'll see. I can't wait for the chaos. These few weeks are some of my favorite of the year.
Dude, I know it's and we didn't get this last year in 2020, so I think there's going to be like 4,000 fans at the SEC tournament. Hopefully, most of those are Razorback fans. now that Kentucky's out.
Yeah, I mean, I think ticket prices are going to go down now that the Big Blue Nation isn't going to be taking snatching up all the tickets. But I think right behind Kentucky, Arkansas may have the second biggest fan base there this year. I mean, Tennessee.
I would say we normally do. I mean, we're great traveling fans.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Kentucky always finds a way to pack the place out, but yeah. And I mean, I would assume Tennessee Volunteer fans. It's super close, but I think Arkansas is this year. If they're not going to be two, they're going to be number one in terms of the quantity of fan base.
Yeah, I mean, in the SEC tournament, man. If we do win it, I will say this: if we do win it, and we get a little bit of help, because we're just on a streak, a roll, man. We could be a one seed. Mm-hmm. We could be a one seed.
Mm-hmm. You need a little help from the Gonzagas and Baylors and Michigans to lose in their semifinals.
I think even if Zaga loses, they're going to be a one seed, maybe Baylor too.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, we're going to be seeded well. So I don't know if I don't want to say our guys aren't going to be motivated, but I think they know, like, it's not win or go home in the SEC tournament because we're going to the big dance.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get off of the SEC bracket here. Where do you think we're gonna? How far do you think we're gonna go? National championship, 1994 style.
Oh man! And you know, before
I've been racking it in my head, man. I've been racking it. I'm like, what if?
Party like it's 1994,
dude. What if we win? That would be pretty cool.
I mean, before we get like completely into that, isn't it awesome to have a conversation of to be in the national championship conversation and not the man, we're last four in, we're gonna have to win two in Nashville to slide in. I mean, this is insane. Well, we're talking about the difference between a one, a two, and a three seed. I mean, that's unheard of, at least since I've been alive. And
yeah, it's wild, man. We haven't had that with any other coach.
Yeah,
Musselman and then is just unbelievable right now. Yeah. Second year, just killing it.
And he's done it. I mean, the roster turnovers, that's kind of what he's known for, but it's phenomenal. I mean, I had a podcast with Michael Musselman this morning, Eric's son, who's on the staff. Director of recruiting. And we were kind of talking about it. Like there's only two guys that played in the SEC tournament last year from Arkansas, and it was Desi Sills and Ethan Henderson.
Yeah.
Outside of that, this is everybody's first time stepping into Bridgestone Arena as a member of the Razorbacks. And then you tell me that a team full of misfit toys and a bunch of new guys having a bond together, and now they're one of the hottest teams in the country. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how you, especially in a COVID year when, like kind of what we said last time, you're not getting as much of those interactions, and you can't take the team out to go to dinner on a Friday night before a game. You can't go see a movie Thursday night. Like, it just feels like there's a lot lost from that standpoint, but Eric is making it look really easy with how the chemistry and how they've been able to bond. It's really been fascinating.
I think that's, you know, we got to have a little luck. Unlike Texas A&M, you got to play a few games, but I think that just shows how good of a coach he is. He's been in the NBA. He's coached everywhere, every level. And I mean, he just knows they're in that little bubble. So maybe the chemistry there, I mean, you've talked with, you said Michael and several other players and coaches, but what is the overall mindset of the team? It's got to feel confident as hell.
Oh yeah. Especially right now. There's not a team that they think can beat them. And
yeah,
I mean,
we have every piece. I mean, if you look at us, we have every piece almost that you'd want to back. We have a 7-3 guy. We barely play. Yeah. We have every piece. We shoot the ball well. We defend. We've got big bodies, athletic guys, NBA prospects. I mean, we have everything.
Yeah, I mean, we have the perfect mixture of older senior veteran transfers, you know, that have kind of been there, done that, and your Jalen Tates and your Justin Smiths and your Vance Jacksons. And then you have a beautiful mix of the young kids, the freshmen, the Devo Davises, Moses Moody's, Jalen Williams, and if he was healthy, the KK Robinsons. And so I don't know if he perfected his an experiment in his little coaching lab. If he said, okay, if I have three senior grad transfers and if I pair them with four excellent freshmen, is that going to be the perfect mixture? Like, it seems like this is just the perfect amount of young guys, the perfect amount of guys that have been here for a couple of years, and the perfect amount of guys that have been from other programs and successful programs too. And it's, I don't know, it's kind of, it shocks me a little bit. It's tough for a lot of Hog fans to act like they know exactly what's going on and how it's worked, because I had my doubts. A lot of other Hog fans had their doubts, and no matter what anybody tells you, nobody could have seen this coming.
Nobody, for sure. We've had good freshman teams before, with Mike Anderson, with that recruiting class. We had a top five recruiting class. I can't remember exactly when it was, several years ago.
Yeah.
But you just see, it seems like the coaching now. That's what I noticed almost more than anything is, yeah, we've got so much talent, but something about what Musselman's doing, like the players buy into it.
Yeah, there's a secret sauce that we don't know about it from the outside. I don't know if they've been feeding them smoothies with some extra stuff in it. I'm not sure what they're doing, but yeah, I mean, we've had really great freshmen before, like Bobby Portis and Qualls and Gafford, but I mean, this team feels like they're so much more well coached than. And I love Mike Anderson. I thought he did a good job here. Not great, but I think he elevated the program from when Pelfrey was here. But, yeah, man, this team would beat, I think, all of Mike's teams.
Yeah, I do too.
And I kind of feel bad saying that, but I think it's just kind of it's the truth.
It seems like it. I mean, 11 straight conference wins and just didn't lose in the month of February. We're peaking.
Yeah.
You got any inside information, Razorbackology, Ben over there? You got any inside info you've talked with the coaches about? Anything interesting you've heard?
I mean, everybody, Jalen Williams' health is a little kind of up in the air.
That scares me a little bit. I thought he was going to be out a game or two.
Yeah. It's kind of a little worrisome, but I think the bottom line is if they were able to make it to Championship Sunday, they'd find a way for him to be there. But outside of that, I think he kind of got caught with the COVID bug. And so
did he get COVID? Was that what happened?
Jalen. Yeah. He got COVID and he didn't, I don't think he didn't have any symptoms from what I heard from other people, but yeah, I don't think he's going to be playing.
We have been lucky in that situation. I think he's maybe, I don't want to say the only player who's gotten it this year, but we haven't had a lot of players test positive.
No, I remember Coach Musk said at the beginning of the year, like so many of their guys got it over summer and leading up to the season, that at any point this year we would be able to field a starting five at the very least. And I think there was a stretch when a couple assistant coaches had it. But I mean, you mentioned it earlier. We've been, I don't know if lucky is the right word or if we've just been excelling at all the protocols and staying away from people, but they've done a really great job of the social distancing, and a little luck probably is with it too. But yeah, this is the first time this year, I think, that we've had a player miss games due to COVID.
I think you're right. We have to fact check that.
Yeah. I don't think there's kind of,
it's a good point you bring up, Ben, because I'm looking at teams like Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina, Michigan State's not even playing very good. They're not going to make the tournament. I think Duke actually, because of COVID protocol, is officially out of the ACC tournament, and that was their only chance of making it. So these teams that have really good, historically great coaches, I guess they're just unlucky or something. I mean,
yeah, it's a really weird year. I mean, North Carolina's on the bubble, Duke's on the bubble, and now they're probably out of it because, like you said, they had a COVID case. And I learned a few minutes ago, right before we got on, that it was a walk-on who got COVID. Jeez. And so that's the reason they're going to have to dip out of the ACC tournament in Greensboro. And there, I looked at Joe Lenardi's bracketology as of this morning, and Duke was on the outside looking in. They're in like the next four out. So they're not even like those first four teams that are going to be in. They need
a lot of help then.
Yeah, and so I think their season's all but wrapped up. But yeah, so many of the blue bloods and Michigan State's, they look like they're playing better. And Syracuse, they just had a heartbreaker. Some Virginia hit a buzzer beater on them, but they're right in the mix.
Nova lost two different guys to injury.
Yes,
I think they're top 15 team. Villanova. Yeah, it's a weird year. I'm fine. I'll win the national championship in a weird year. I'm okay with that. Yeah. Take that away from us.
Yeah. I mean, heck, even the SEC tournament, I'll take a win in there too. But
I'd love to win that. Yeah, but I would definitely. What would you prefer? to win the SEC tournament or go Elite Eight?
I think Elite Eight. I think, I mean, the only way, I think the only thing that a SEC tournament championship matches up to is a round of 32. Just getting one win in the NCAAs, to me, that is equal to an SEC title, because a Sweet 16 is something that we haven't done since 98, I think. And
yeah,
the last time we won the SEC title was 2000. So, I mean, technically, I guess that works out. But there's something about winning in the NCAA tournament that everything is just magnified by 100, it feels like. So
it'll be interesting this year with limited fans, because we didn't have it last year, to see how that plays out, because Bud Walton has been hopping this year, even with 5,000 people in the arena. It's been nice.
Yeah. And in the, student section. Or... Yeah. I've been lucky and have been able to make it to like every conference game. And I even went on a couple road trips with some buddies to Columbia, Missouri to watch them beat Mizzou. And then went to Stillwater to watch them take on Cade Cunningham at Oklahoma State. But
that was a good game.
For the student sections in Fayetteville at Bud Walton, the last two games against, I think it would have been A&M and LSU, they've been letting swarms of students in.
Yeah, and you can see it on TV. I was like, that doesn't look like social distancing protocol. But.
No, there's like that lower bowl that you can see, like there's posters in between and you have to be spread out there. But once you get a little higher into the bowl, I mean, there's the first 6 to 10 rows are, I mean, full. And students aren't complaining, I'll tell you that much.
Man, can't wait till we host a NCAA region or something one of these years. I'm sure we've hosted before.
For baseball, NCAA regional and baseball.
For basketball.
Basketball, sure they don't. For postseason basketball, they don't have any like hosting. Anything
is hosted. Never have, huh?
Not that I can remember. It's always all the NCAA tournament is always played in neutral sites, and SEC tournament's always played in either Nashville or St. Louis or.
I know the SEC is always in Nashville. I didn't know about the NCAA, considering we have such a nice arena.
Yeah, I think. Well, I think Bud Walton could host, but they would never have it. Like Arkansas would never be able to play in Bud Walton as an NCAA tournament team at their own site. I think they make sure to keep those teams separate. I'm pretty sure.
Interesting. Even if they're the home team or something, or the number one seed, huh?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, like obviously in baseball, you can host a regional and a super regional. But the only thing that you can host in postseason play for basketball is the NIT tournament.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
Well, so man, now let's get your prediction. Where do you think we're going to go? How far do you think we're going to go? I mean, I love to say national championship. I'm going to be smart and just set the bar low. I think we're going to make it to the Sweet 16 at least. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I hope for more, but where do you see us going? What's your prediction?
As a three seed, if going into the tournament, we play a 14 seed in the round of 64, and not going to say cakewalk because every game is obviously a challenge, but we should easily win that one. Mm-hmm. And then that next game, you play the winner of the 6 and the 11. And Arkansas's track record this year, they don't lose to teams that are worse than them. And they beat all the teams they're supposed to, and their losses have been against teams that at the time had been better than them. Mm-hmm. So I think – it's going to be tough to put Arkansas on upset watch. And I think I'm not going to say if they don't make the Sweet 16, it's going to be disappointing, because what they've done to this point has been already a pretty great season.
Yeah.
But I think I'm going to say they'll make a Sweet 16, and then that Elite Eight game against a two seed will be tough. But what we talked about earlier, there's so many upsets in March Madness, and that two seed could get upset by a seven seed, and then we could be looking at playing a seven seed to get to the Elite Eight. So I think I'm going to go on record and say Sweet 16 is what I expect. Okay. That's not to say if we lose in the round of 32, I'm going to be upset.
I will be. I will look at this season like, hey, we had a lot of ups and downs. It was fun as hell. But if we don't make the Sweet 16, I'm going to be a little disappointed for sure. Yeah.
And that's fair too, because we're a top 10 team, and you expect a top 10 team to be in the top 10 at the very end of the year in the final bracket. But just the way, I mean, I have this bobblehead next to me. It's Loyola Chicago, It's his sister Jean, and she was a part of the 11 seeded Loyola Chicago team that made it all the way to the Final Four. And it's like an 11 seed is never, maybe never, but I mean, never, that never happens. Like an 11 seed or any seed like that, making it that far to the Final Four, never happens, but it just shows you how unpredictable March is. And that's why folks like me love it, because it's just so unpredictable. Like I've made that SEC tournament bracket. I'm already 0-2. I thought Kentucky would beat Mississippi State, and I thought A&M would beat Vanderbilt, and both aren't true. So
I'm also 0-2. Yeah. But it'll be fun to watch. That's for sure. I know quarterfinals kick off today, and we play tomorrow at 6.
Yep, tomorrow at 6 against the winner of 7-seeded Missouri and 10-seeded Georgia.
Well, man, if we make it. If we win the SEC tournament, we keep this streak alive. We're probably going to have you back on before the NCAA tournament.
Let's do it.
If we win that thing, we're going to have you on before baseball, football. We're just
Let's do it. Hey, I love talking Hawk sports. I'm a little superstitious too. So if we lose that first game to Missouri, then we're going to definitely have to get another podcast, because we were on the winning streak with the first one and the second one, and we started losing. So we need a third one to get back on track in case we drop one to Georgia or Missouri.
Absolutely, man. Sounds like a plan. Hey, I know you got to get out of here, but thanks for joining the show. And go Hogs, baby.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's always good coming on, and thanks for inviting me back for a second time.
Absolutely, man. I had quite a few people reach out for the first one, and they said it was a pretty good show. So
awesome. Awesome. Love to hear it.
Cool, man. Well, thanks for stopping by, Ben.
Yes, sir. Woo pig.
Woo pig. See you, bud.
See ya.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Lending a Hand. I wanted to thank y'all for giving this episode a quick listen. If you are a Razorback fan or not, if you're listening on Spotify, Apple, or if you're right here on YouTube, feel free to hit that subscribe button, that follow button. You guys are the lifeblood of the podcast, and the more Razorback fans, the more sports fans, the more people that we can help lend a hand to, because these shows are not always about sports. We have over 110 episodes, launching one every week. Go and check them out. Cannot wait to see what the Arkansas Razorbacks do here in the NCAA tournament 2021. Looking forward to it. All right, everybody, I'm signing off, and thanks for listening to Lending a Hand.